This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu as-salamu Nabi Kareem Muhammad wa alayhi tayyibin wa sahbihi salihin. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Who wants to get married? Probably not. The point of this lecture today is not about hooking you up, but it's about preventing you from making a mistake when things don't go so right in a marriage. We all want to avoid Allah's displeasure and His throne shaking when people get divorced, when a couple must divorce, but there are legitimate reasons why people do get divorced. Now, this is part of Islam. Marriage and divorce, we have rules, we have regulations to manage justice in all regards, giving each side what is due to them. However, we don't live in a world where the law and the hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reigns supreme amongst human beings. We live in a world where secular laws, kufr laws, predominate. And into such situations, when many Muslims think, we don't need a state or a government, we can just practice Islam individually. Until things go wrong, until they need justice. And then they realize, oh, if only we had our own ruling system in the world. If only we had our own shield to protect us, like what's happening in Gaza. If only there was a united Islamic polity ruling with the hukum of Allah. Now this is well known, so let's look at an example of what happens when Muslims are not under the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happens? In the West, they made promises to you. They said, we're secular liberal countries. We don't interfere in your religion. Secularism means not to interfere in your religious life. Until they do. Why is that? Because they don't mind how you pray, and they don't mind that you go to the masjid once a week. But if ever you live by the deen of Islam in your lives and your life's affairs and your interactions with each other, they're going to intervene and they're going to interfere. And why? Because they have their own deen. Liberalism. And do you think liberalism is going to remain silent or allow other deans to coexist with it? No. So what they'll say is, we allow you your religious life, your religious authority, your religious what have you, unless we deem it to be against what we consider to be human rights, our own conception of human rights. Then we will interfere. But you say, but this is our religious life, and we're not forcing anyone to do whatever, right? We're not killing anybody or imprisoning anybody. We just have our community with our set of rules, and we want to voluntarily live by them. And they'll say no, because your community creates a social pressure to kind of abide by these religious laws, and we want to liberate the individual. Right? So that no individual should be compelled or feel pressured to do anything unless it's what liberalism wants you to do. So in this case, we come to divorce. Now what they will argue is, the argument is this, that Sharia does not give rights to women in divorce. And even if you say, yeah, but you know, we don't accept that, but regardless, even if we were to concede this, it's all voluntary in the West. We're all living in a voluntary kind of religious life. So what's it got to do with you? And they'll say, well, we can't abide that any individual is under a social condition where they're not being given the rights we deem them to be given. And then they will begin intervention in Muslim religious practices, regardless of whether we say, but it's not a secular state. And they'll say, yes, but you contradict the rights that we deem that you should be living under. And in divorce, we see this is one of the main ways that they are intervening. Sorry? When we tell the guys at the back to be quiet. Okay. Well, right, guys at the back, be quiet. If you're probably very enthusiastic to get married, so don't worry. But you can simmer down for a bit. Take some cold showers, fast a bit, and we can then focus. Okay. So, in many westernized and Western countries, they've enacted measures against Muslim marriages and divorces, interference measures. We know in India, they implemented the prohibition against the triple talaq, right? The three divorces that are uttered by the man, even though in theory, the Indian constitution is meant to not interfere in the religious life of the various communities in India. We know that in France, for example, that bastion of rights and fairness and justice that everyone knows, unless you're Muslim, of course, they enacted mandatory civil registrations. What they argued is that Muslim marriages are not fair, Muslim marriages do not give justice, but French civil marriages do. And when people were not registering for French civil marriages, but were having nikah only, or religious quote-unquote marriages, they made it mandatory to say that all religious marriages will be recognized as a French civil marriage and be under French law. And of course, when you add that to the fact that there's a prohibition on bigamy, and so you can't have more than one wife in France, you get to this absurd situation where there was a Muslim that was taken to court because he got married to two women religiously, but the French government said that this must be considered to be French, a civil marriage, and so you committed bigamy. And the only way he got out of it was he argued that his second wife was actually his girlfriend. Then the French government said, okay, that's fine. As long as it's your mistress, that's okay. Perish the fort should be a wife. No, no. But a bit on the side, c'est tout bien. And now that brings us to England. Now in England, there is currently no obligation to mandatorily register your religious marriage as a English civil marriage. But there is pressure on masajid to do that. And many masajid have said, if you want to have nikah in our masajid, you're going to have to also show us a certificate of English civil marriage registry as well. They put pressure, and of course, many of these mosque imams, when the British government come a knocking, they go, yes, sahab, yes, G sahab, I'll do what you want. They don't show any backbone, right? They don't actually push back and say, sorry, who are you to get involved in our affairs?
Yeah.
Now, the British government hasn't stopped in just pressuring mosque imams. Of course, they don't like the fact that there is Muslim nikah going on. I mean, they won't mind if Muslims are committing zina. Well, that's all right. But if Muslims are trying to abide by their deen, but it's something that is outside of English law, this goes down to the deep secular liberal fear that human beings should have any law other than the ones that they fabricate. That's what is really behind this. Is that a Muslim should deem that the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the highest, is something they deem to be an inimicable threat to their civilization, quote unquote, if you can call it that. So they started to take measures in England to see what they could do to pressure Muslims to register the civil marriage. Now, before I go into that, what's wrong with English civil marriage? What's wrong with civil law marriages in the West? Well, people might say, if the husband dies, if they're married, then the wife gets obviously some properties to support herself. What about if he's on life support and she has to be asked to, whether he has to pull the plug or not, she has power of attorney. Why is that wrong? Why is that bad? Well, those things of themselves, anyway, are not the issue here. The issue here is when marriages go wrong, when divorce happens. And this is where we see the clash with the Hukm of Allah occurs more significantly. Because in English civil law marriage, and in the West, they have a principle that came from the Christian times, which is that when a man and woman married, they became one flesh, right? They became one. Now, what it used to be up until the 19th century was that the property of the woman and the man become one, but the husband gets to control what's been done with that property. So many English men would get married to a wealthy heiress just to control her property and have lots of money. Now, eventually, there was issues that they said this was unjust and women should be allowed to control their own property. I said, okay, that seems fair, right? But they never got rid of the idea that when a married couple get married, their property becomes one, right? Now they have issues now where, the property becomes one, but there's now disputes over finance, over money, the expenses. In fact, disputes over finances are actually one of the leading causes of divorce in the West, because as an Arabic saying goes, a horse cannot have two riders, right? You can't have two masters or two leaders or two bosses or what have you. You have to have someone that should be responsible for the household finances generally. But that aside, wherein lies the problem with this idea of property becoming one? Well, the problem occurs when a divorce happens, and let's say one of these people, one of the spouses, didn't bring any property into the marriage. Maybe they only got married for a few months. But when the divorce happens, the default setting for all court cases is 50-50 split. And it doesn't matter why the divorce happened. Many cases of non-Muslim men and even Muslim men being cheated on, their wife cheated on them, and then goes to divorce, the court gives the house to the wife, and she gets to live in it with her boyfriend. The house that belonged to the husband that he brought into the marriage, it was before he got married. Because in divorce courts, they look at, well, you know, we need to guarantee everyone has a place to stay. So if a man is bringing in income and the woman isn't bringing in income, for example, then he can just rent out an apartment. Whereas if he has a house, then that house should go to the person who doesn't have an income or has a lesser income. And by that, people are deprived of their property unfairly and unjustly. And it isn't even, not even men are feeling the brunt of it. There was a case of wealthy businesswomen who get married and they have a husband that doesn't have much or what have you, and he gets 50% of their property. Only then the feminists started to take notice. Oh, wait a second, we didn't like that. We don't want that. Oh, it's gone a bit too far. We thought it was just for women. Oh no, the door swings both ways. And this is what they want to bring into the Muslim community. That when divorces happen, regardless of the circumstances, the people's property gets deprived of them. And in Islam, Islamic law, when two people get married, their property doesn't become one. They each retain ownership of their own property. So you can't touch the other person's property in Islam without their consent, without them gifting it to you or what have you. But because the law divides 50-50 and apportions it, unscrupulous ex-spouses exploit that to say, well, it's my right. I demand 50%, I demand the house, the car, and 50% of the assets, even if that lady was only married for a few months. And many men are not just losing their kids, but they're losing their properties. How are they going to get remarried? They don't have a house anymore. Yeah? What about their future? They have to pay alimony forever. They might even only be married for a few months. Right? This is not just injustice, this is stealing. But you'd be surprised how many Muslims who are in divorce cases will grab anything they can when the ship is sinking. They'll grab it. Right? And this is what the British government want to foist upon you. I saw there's a campaign called Register My Marriage campaign, and it's been going on for a couple of years. A bunch of modernist Muslims, liberals and what have you, have been trying to kind of get the government to make legislation to make mandatory registrations on Muslims. And recently, it's been ramped up, although they faced a bit of a reverse. But in 2017, there was a documentary that came on Channel 4 called The Truth About Muslim Marriage, led by an ostensibly Muslim sister called Mariam Francois. She used to wear the hijab back in the day, was on TV debating against Islamophobes or what have you. But she's somewhat changed since that point in time. She's taken off her hijab, dyed her hair blonde because why not? And she's a French convert to Islam. And she also publicly said on the tweet that she disagrees with the, in essence, Quranic inheritance rights. She said that she wouldn't accept her brother getting twice the inheritance of her, even though her brother will have to have more responsibility than she does in an Islamic context. So they showed these scenes in this documentary. You know, they went to a marriage and they went to, you know, a couple and they said, aren't you happy about, you know, about civil registration? They said, yes, yes. And the man, the guy was there, was like, yeah, yeah, you know, my wife is protected, you know, under this. They said, mate, do you know what they're asking you? When your wife leaves you, if your wife leaves you, or when, you do know this means that she'll take your property. That's what protection means. Right? She'll take your property and you'll find it very difficult to get remarried. That's what protection is. But you might say then, but what is the alternative solution? What would be an alternative solution what if the husband dies or he's on life support and he's in comatose? What happens then? Well, we already have all the legal implements you can use, such as wills, bequests, power of attorney. You don't need to register a civil marriage. But they don't tell you that, of course. They just say, no, rights lie in civil registrations. And of course, let's look at the amazing rights that come about from the enlightened West's divorce rights. Well, what can a divorcee expect in court cases in the West if it's not amicable? You can expect up to £100,000 to pay on legal fees. Divorces lasting 5 years, right? At least the Islamic divorce is instant. It's quick, comparatively, and doesn't cost that much, right? And then they say, oh, you know, it's unfair because, women can't get divorced easily, or they can't get divorced in Islam. It's not true. They can get divorced, but there's certain conditions, certain situations. They have to go see a court judge, an Islamic court judge. You have to go see a court judge in England to get divorced. I don't know what the difference is. Yeah, but they make all these facile arguments to even though their own legal system is creaking under the weight of the number of divorces that are happening. 1 in 2 people getting married are getting divorced, and the Muslim rate of divorce is slowly matching it. We see in 2018 the British government then tried to do an independent review into the application of Sharia law in England and Wales, followed by another paper. A parliamentary briefing in 2020 called Islamic Marriage and Divorce in England and Wales. They are constantly discussing it to see how can we implement new legislation to force Muslims to be under the law of England and Wales, even in their most personal private affairs. Yeah. So they're not leaving you alone. They're not leaving you to your private worships or your private religious life. They were always going to interfere in your lives, because liberalism is a deen, and a deen is meant to be a way of life, so there's no aspect of life it doesn't involve itself into. Right? It's not going to leave you alone. You know, to you, your deen, lakum deenikum waliya deen, but for them, they said, no, but you must follow our deen. Right? Otherwise, we're going to have a problem, we're going to interfere. So, and of course, there's hypocrisies. For example, they don't talk about Jewish divorces, even though in Jewish religious law, if the man doesn't give a divorce, doesn't allow his wife to be divorced, she can't get divorced. It's called a get. She has to get something called a get. It's a Hebrew word. So they don't say that's not fair. Oh, they won't talk about Jewish law, of course, but they'll talk about Islamic law when Muslim women can go to an Islamic court and get a divorce. Oh, no, that's unfair. Oh, Jewish law, we won't talk about that. Yeah, so they're not, obviously not consistent, are they? Because they're more concerned with the Muslim communities in the West than they are with any other communities, because they view us as that we're a big minority, but also that we believe that the Hukam of Allah should be supreme. So I'll leave you on this very on these two points. The first point is, as Muslims, we have faith and confidence in the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hukum. We don't need to register our marriages. There's nothing extra you can get from it. In fact, there's only what you can lose, whether you're a successful man or a successful woman even. Right? So what is the point to do so? Don't buckle to the pressure. Resist. Push back. Say, don't touch our deen. Yeah? Go and deal with whatever, you know, affairs you want to deal with in your own lives. Go deal with your own divorce rate. You know? And they'll say, oh, but we've uncovered that many Muslims think that nikah is automatically civil marriage. When we want to redress that, we need an awareness campaign. Maybe we need law to make sure that, because some Muslims might think mistakenly that your nikah is automatically recognized under British laws. That's why we want to intervene. So, no, you don't intervene when it's recorded that 50% of English people think that if they're in if they're living together, cohabiting, this is recognized as a common law marriage. You don't get involved to say, we need an awareness campaign. We need to force couples to get married. You won't say that. Yeah, so then don't come to us. And lastly, I'll say, beware the warning of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Beware when he said, to paraphrase, that if people come to him and they're very eloquent in a court case and they know how to, they make their case really well, even though they have the weaker case, right? And they prevail upon him to judge in their favor by maybe lying or misrepresenting the facts, and he rules in their favor, they are only gaining a piece of the hellfire. So beware. Do not allow yourself to take a piece of the hellfire by claiming that which is not yours, and do not allow yourself to be vulnerable to take for people taking your property and taking what is not rightfully theirs. And resist the secular liberal attempt to enforce their deen upon us, and always maintain the deen of Islam is the supreme, it is the best, it is the fairest and the most just, and inshallah, that itself should be the one governing the affairs of mankind. Barakallahu feekum.